afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the 2012 Integrated Marketing Virtual Conference. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration and EMNC, sister publications of Target Marketing and Printing Impressions magazines. I'm pleased to welcome you to this afternoon's session, Harnessing Social Media Demographics to Drive Search Marketing Conversions and Nurture Online Leads, sponsored by Marketo. Search engine marketing coupled with effectively optimized landing pages often leads to high conversion rates, but what's been missing from search advertising is the ability to target effectively by searcher demographic. While the social networks offer great demographic targeting options through their advertising platforms, the conversion rates are sometimes lackluster. In this session today, Janet Driscoll-Miller, President and CEO of Search Mojo, a search engine marketing agency that specializes in SEO, pay-per-click, and B2B lead generation services, will demonstrate ways to combine the power of social media demographics with the capabilities of search marketing platforms, such as retargeted ads. Today, you'll learn how to combine the strengths of search engine marketing and social network marketing to increase conversions, how search engine marketing combined with social network marketing can help nurture online leads, and best practices around search and social marketing for B2B and B2C marketers. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of this session. First, if you have any technical difficulties, please troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select ones later on. You can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the bells and whistles and widgets on this console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget to learn how you can customize your viewing experience today. And finally, if you leave this session at any time or would like to view it again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, August 20th. So without further ado, please welcome Janet Driscoll-Miller.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, everyone, again, for attending our session today. To start with, I'd like to talk about the search conundrum. I've been in search for a lot of years, and search engine marketing has always been very highly effective at driving conversion and driving sales, but more and more we're seeing over the years that there's a challenge because you don't always know exactly what that particular searcher searching for. So if you take a look here, the challenge I see is that searching keywords can be ambiguous sometimes and may require some context so that you can figure out exactly what that searcher really intent may be. Because the intent of a particular keyword can be difficult to ascertain just because of a keyword that they particularly searched. For example, I had a client at one point who did sales recruiting. When you have a keyword like sales recruiting firm, does that mean that the person who's searching is a job seeker, or is it someone who wants to hire a company that wants to hire the sales recruiting firm to find them salespeople? You don't know who that person is. And so there's always keywords like that, no matter what your brand is, that are going to be difficult to tell who that person is on the other end to get the best conversion rate. And that's where we bring in personas. You can't always tell from a keyword who that audience or person is that you're trying to market to through the keyword. And so the answer that I found that I think is really effective is using social advertising, which can give us demographic information, and retargeting, which you can also do through many of the different platforms, but especially Google AdWords with its remarketing efforts or platform. So why would you use social ads? Well, first of all, it often offers what search lacks, which is a high level of demographic targeting. I expect that at some point that Google's going to try and get there with Google Plus, but right now there aren't enough users. It's not been ubiquitous enough in usage to really understand lots of demographics. But platforms like Facebook and LinkedIn provide us with all sorts of things. And I usually tell clients, you know, Facebook has been great for B2C primarily, LinkedIn even better for B2B. And in Facebook, as an example, you can you know what people like. They actually opt in and tell you, hey, I like green Jell-O. They tell you all these crazy things. It's amazing what you can find in Facebook that people like. You can find out their gender, status updates, all this different type of targeting that you can do in Facebook. So if someone says, I really need a vacuum cleaner in their status update, you could target that and have an ad towards it. It's amazing. But you can also schools and age. So if you like sell collegiate gear, you can tell what school people went to for college. So there are great things you can do with Facebook from a demographic perspective that you just can't always do with Google AdWords or with Bing. And on the LinkedIn side, it's fantastic for B2B because you can actually target through things like title, function, company size, how big is the company you're marketing to, the seniority level of the person. It's got a lot of great, great demographic targeting that, again, is lacking in search. I like to show this next app or this next slide because I'm a child of the 70s, and so if you are a child of the 70s or 80s, you may remember the old Reese's Peanut Butter Cup ads where it was, you know, you got your chocolate, my peanut butter. No, you got your peanut butter and my chocolate. And I kind of think of social media and search the same way. You know, they really are combining in so many ways, and you almost can't do one without the other anymore. If you want to watch that ad, by the way, there's the link at the bottom there. You can watch it on YouTube. But it always makes me a laugh because I think about how these two different areas are really combining and really support each other, and this is just another way that they do that. So let's talk about what is retargeting. You can do retargeting as part of the Google AdWords platform. Google calls it remarketing, but it's a form of display advertising. Essentially, what you're doing is you're serving ads to people who have previously visited a page on your site. It could be a landing page. It could be your website visitor. And I like to think about it allowing me to recycle those clicks that didn't necessarily immediately convert on my website. So I love that idea of recycling. It's a green way of marketing, I guess. So let me walk through this and show you exactly what retargeting is. So what happens is someone visits a web page. Again, it can be a landing page or it could be a web page on your website. And when they visit that page, you add a Google AdWords retargeting cookie to that user. At that point, you then, once the cookie's been added, Google retargeting ads, or remarketing ads as they call them, show to the same user over many different websites that are in the Google network. Now, again, this is not specific just to Google. You can do it with other platforms as well. Google's just the one I'm going to talk about today. Here's an example of retargeting in action. So if you look here at the orange ad in the bottom right corner, it's for SEO software. Now, this site is a blog. I'm a big Redskins fan, and, of course, you know, football season coming upon us, and I was on this blog, and I thought, now, you know, why would advanced web ranking as a software, they wouldn't advertise on this blog just to anybody. I mean, football fans just aren't just made up of SEO people. This is clearly a retargeted ad because I visited their site before. And so this is just one example of how those ads are going to follow me around. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're just going to be placed on sites where SEO people hang out. It's also going to be on sites that I might hang out on outside of SEO. And you can actually target the frequency of how often you want the person to see your ads and so forth as well. You can toggle that setting in Google and do some testing just to make sure that you're not looking too big brother. You know, you don't want to look like you're following people around or stalking them. So you've got to be careful about that. But this is just one example of an ad I see quite often on these types of blogs. So now let's talk about how can we combine social media and retargeting. Well, as I mentioned, Facebook is great if you have, let's say, a B2C market. LinkedIn, I think, tends to be a little bit better with B2B. So let's say we're going to target ads towards people who we know are dog lovers on Facebook, people who have self-identified that they are dog lovers on Facebook. And so what we do is we put an ad on Facebook, let's say for a dog food sale, and we target it, that campaign, specifically to people who say that they are dog lovers. Next, the user would click on the social ad in Facebook, and they would land on a landing page, likely on our website, focused on dog products or whatever we were selling, so like the dog food sale as an example. At that point, we would mark that person as a dog lover by putting them in a particular group. We would say, here's our retargeting code, cookie essentially. We're going to put on that person to put them into our dog lover group. Right? And so we're going to retarget to them as dog lovers in the future. Now, while they're on that page, that user or visitor could respond to an offer and fill out the form. Or they don't necessarily fill out the form, right? Those are the two options. You either fill it out or you don't. And at that point, if they don't fill out the form, you definitely want to continue to retarget to them and send them ads focused as dog lovers, focused on dog products and so forth. So in this case, I'm sending them Pamper Your Pup. So there's a dog wash, essentially, more dog products over time. But even if they do purchase, you may still want to retarget to them because, again, if you're like an e-commerce company, you may want to continue to retarget to people because if you are selling dog products, as an example, like dog food, every time you have a dog food sale, you may still want to tell them about the dog food sale. So you can either opt them out of retargeting once they fill out a form or make a purchase, or you can always keep them into the retargeting queue and keep going over time as you have other specials. The next thing I want to talk about is what we call nurture personas. So now that you have these groups and you know these people are dog lovers, what do you want to do with them after they convert in the long term? Well, one of the things we've done is, as I said, we marked someone as a dog lover. We put a cookie on them. We know they're a dog lover. We put them in that group. So the user could fill out a form, purchase, what have you, respond to our offer, or, again, they could not respond to the offer. Don't fill out the form. And, again, we can retarget to them. But the other thing that we can do is when they eventually fill out the form and get into our back-end system, be that a marketing automation system like Marketo or a system for e-commerce that where they make a purchase, what we're going to do then is mark them as a persona in that particular system. So we can then continue to nurture that person with dog-related emails, landing pages, and messages. So let's say I have a newsletter I want to send out, and I know this person purchases dog food. I know this person's interested in dogs. Guess what? I want to send them that newsletter. Or if I have specials, I want to send them that particular special. So that's really how you nurture personas and how you can target folks using social media ads. And I wanted to open it up to questions. If I can, I want to hand it back to Melissa to allow us to take some questions now.
Hi, everybody. Yes, thank you so much for that presentation, Janet. I really appreciate it. We don't have any questions just yet, so I think I'll jump in. And since a lot of your presentation was about retargeting and retargeting ads, can we talk a little bit about, you know, some best practices around retargeting in general? I mean, I know there is some controversy around it with all the privacy stuff, but could you sort of briefly kind of give us an overview of best practices around that retargeting?
Yeah, actually, you know, we do a lot of retargeting with our clients, and one of the things we find is generally we set our settings to be, for instance, you don't want to target someone too much, and as I was mentioning, you don't want to look too big brother with it. So one of the mm-hmm. things that we try and do is only target an individual to see the ad no more than 3 times per day. And so that helps make sure that they don't see the ad too often. Some other things that can be a little bit Big Brother-esque, I guess. I don't know. It looks like you're stalking them. I've seen some types of retargeting platforms, especially for e-commerce, where if you put things in a basket and you don't purchase from that basket, that those items will show up in an ad to you later. That's a little creepy to me. Now, some people may not find that creepy, but and it depends. If you're an e-commerce vendor, it depends on your how comfortable you are with the creepiness factor of that. But I know there's a couple of companies that do it. I know Overstock does it. I know Gymboree does it. It does it to me all the time. So I know that they are using that type of technology. Google, I do not believe, Google AdWords retargeting does not offer that feature, I don't believe, in the ads. So it may be a different platform that they're using. But you have to really think about how would I feel as the end user. And the other thing is if you've got them in multiple groups, like I was mentioning dog lovers are not exclusively dog lovers. They could also be cat lovers. So if you're targeting two groups, you also want to make sure that, again, your ads aren't showing to that person too often. So let's say I'm targeting these two groups and I have 3 times a day is my maximum ads for one person in one group and 3 times in another group, there could be an overlap and they could see my ad, 3 of dog, 3 of cat, and see it 6 times a day. So you got to be careful of that too. You have to be really careful about how you do that targeting.
Okay, great. Well, actually, thank you very much for that. And we're also starting to get a lot of questions here, so let me jump in. Okay. So one of the listeners, was interested in the example that you gave about how to combine social media with to drive search, and she was wondering if this is something that just works on PPC, on search ads or displays, or all of the above, and if you can kind of explain that a little bit.
So to use the personas, what we do, again, we go ahead and do, first of all, we start with a social ad on Facebook or LinkedIn. I'll also tell you that I'm getting, Facebook's typically very inexpensive to advertise with per click, so that's really nice, but it doesn't usually get a high click-through rate. So know that they're different than search in that aspect, first of all, because if you go in as a search marketer and you feel like you're going to get a 3% click-through rate on Facebook, I think you might be unrealistic. So know that going in, it's going to be a very low click-through rate typically. LinkedIn, I find, tends to have better click-through rates, and it tends, from a B2B perspective, and it has actually very good return on investment cost per lead. So I've been really pleased with my work with LinkedIn on both using both the self-serve ad platform as well as a display ad platform. But on either one that we're going to do, Facebook or LinkedIn, we can create those campaigns, again, targeted to a particular persona. We decide what those personas are, that targeting, before we go in there. And we say, again, like, let's target Facebook. It's for dog lovers. We're going to say, we're going to target those dog lovers. And they may be people who like the page Dog Book, as an example, is one of the, or an application, or they like, they've listed themselves as dog lovers in some way. And so we would know people in those groups. We'll put up a campaign together, and we'll mark them as dog lovers. When they click through on my ad in Facebook, they're going to end up on a landing page on my website that's maybe selling dog food. And when they get there, I'm going to put the Google retargeting cookie on them. But I'm also going to do something else. I'm going to put another cookie in them that I use for myself, for my own website. And that way, every time they come back, even if they come back through search, like let's say they click on a pay-per-click ad later, I'll know that that person's a dog lover, and I can customize my content to that person on the landing page. As an example, if let's say they click on a keyword later on in Google, and the keyword is pet food. Well, I don't know what pet they have. Do they have a fish? Do they have a dog? Do they have a cat? I don't know. But I know if I've cookied them. And when they come to my page, I can make sure I serve up content that's specific to them. Now, if you are a Marketo user, I happen to be a Marketo user, and I love Marketo. I'm not saying that just because they're sponsoring. I love them. They have this great thing with landing pages where you can put in dynamic content very easily. And so you can change out your content based on things like cookies and so forth. And that is really nice because then you can have one page, and let's say you know the person who clicks on the pet supply keyword coming from Google likes dogs. Well, I'm going to show them a picture of a dog instead of a cat. I'm going to show them a picture of a dog instead of a fish. And I'm going to offer them dog products. And that is where you can really make some incredible inroads in conversion when you know that person better.
Okay, I think that answers the question. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's about specifically about the medium, but it's basically who you're targeting, regardless of where how you're targeting them.
Exactly.
So, great. Okay, so another question was, how do you find Facebook prospects that are dog lovers, for example, like you mentioned, without them being friends with everyone?
So when you run Facebook ads, you don't have to be friends with them to run an ad with them, and they don't have to like your page to run an ad with them. Liking your page, in fact, when people come to your page, that's not where you can target them. You have to do it through the advertising because it has to be done outside of the Facebook platform. In other words, someone has to click on something that takes them to your web page because your web page, you have the control to put things like cookies and other things on that person when they visit your site. You don't have that control inside of Facebook itself, inside of that platform. You used to when you had iframes, but those are gone now. So you can't do that anymore. Well, they're sort of gone now, but you can't do that anymore. So that being said, you're not friends with them per se. You're actually running an advertising campaign, which is different than trying to attract fans to your page. And so when you do the self-serve targeted ads in Facebook, there are so many. It's just crazy how many things you can target. When you go in, and you can do one just as a test, just to see. Just start up anybody can do it. You can put in your credit card. It won't charge you anything unless you launch the ads. You can take a look at all of the targeting features. It's amazing. If you just start typing something, lots of different things will come up. So, like, if I typed in, for instance, dogs, I will see everything, every group, every type of like someone could have around dogs, and it's fascinating. There are groups you never knew existed. There are niches you never knew could be possible, and they are out there. It's amazing, and Facebook has really lots of targeting options. All you have to do is go into their ads, and you can see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, let's see. This person has a question about LinkedIn. You mentioned them several times being a good area for you. Do you recommend paying pay per click or paying per impression on LinkedIn? And can you do either?
I don't think you can. You have to pay by the I think all of LinkedIn is paid by the impression. I have to double check that, but I think I know definitely the display ads are paid by impression. They're not paid by the click. I'm pretty certain that their text ads, the self-serve ads, are also paid by impression. However, I would say that on the Facebook side, you do have a choice. I usually still on the Facebook side only pay by the click. Because as an advertiser, I'd rather pay by the click. I'd rather pay when I have an action. The challenge with Facebook that you don't have with LinkedIn is that Facebook's ad serving algorithm is wonky. I don't love it. And what you have to do is change out your copy, because what happens is Facebook wants to serve ads similar to the way Google does, the ones that have the best click-through rate. So when you're charged by the click, they want to serve your ad that's going to get the most clicks. Well, if your ad is getting a low click-through rate, which many Facebook ads do, that's not uncommon, then the problem becomes they stop showing your ad. And so you have to go in there. The best way to deal with that is to always be rotating out your ad copy every few days, put up new ad copy, and then Facebook will test it out for a couple of days. And if it's not getting a click-through rate that it finds to be acceptable, it may stop showing it, but you just put a new one up. So it takes a little bit more maintenance, I think, to do the price by the click, cost per click, in Google. Facebook versus LinkedIn. It's a little bit harder because of their serving algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Seems like you have a good handle on all the different sort of subtleties of all the different networks. Given that, I mean, what's your opinion on one of the questions we have here is Facebook Ads versus Google AdSense?
So Google AdSense, AdSense itself is really the advertiser, the name for the advertiser piece. So if we're talking about content network, which is ads that serve through AdSense to AdSense providers, the content network versus social ads, it really depends. I don't usually do broad targeting on the content network, and the reason is I haven't usually seen good return on investment with that. If you do what they call placement targeting or site targeting, I can't remember what they call it now. They keep changing the name of it. But it's either called site targeting or placement targeting in Google. You get to actually select which sites you want your ad to appear on in the content network. I prefer that. And the reason I prefer that is because there's still a lot of spammy stuff out there in the content network, and there's even spammy stuff in Google's search network to the degree that at one point we had to opt out a lot of our clients from search network because search network in Google is supposed to be what you would assume it would be is search engines like ask.com, for instance, was one of the Google network search network partners. But what I found somewhat by accident by doing a search query report in Google was that our ads for a B2B company were showing up on Target.com and CNN.com. And the reason they were showing up is because Google was showing them as search network partners. Now, you and I know Target is not a search engine. So I felt like that was a little bit misleading. I wasn't very happy about it. But Google can be very vague in the way they describe things sometimes, and they consider them a search network partner. So we stopped opting into search network for many reasons like that. And if we want to advertise on a different search engine, we'll just go to them directly. But, with the Google thing, that was a little bit underhanded. You have to kind of watch those things. And there's subtleties about that you have to watch with Google, as well as all of them, you know, Facebook, all of them, LinkedIn. You want to keep an eye on that kind of stuff because as terms of service change, there are subtle things that can happen like that can hurt your cost per conversion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. Okay, so now going back to these examples with retargeting ads, let's see. If a person doesn't respond to like a retargeted offer, I guess, but revisits a site, do you have any stats about how likely they will be able to take the offer eventually, and how long is eventually, like within a week or 2 weeks? Or can you talk about it anecdotally?
That's hard to say because it depends on the offer, right? I mean, every offer is different. And so it's very difficult to measure to say, oh, well, they'll eventually take this offer. Well, if the offer isn't good to begin with, they may never take it. So the challenge is, you know, there's so many variables in it that it's really hard to say, well, it'll take X number of times for them to visit with this offer. But I will tell you that retargeting tends to be a highly, highly effectual form of advertising. And the reason is that people have visited your site. They've expressed some interest in you in some way. They've come to your site in some way, be it through a landing page or they've visited your site. So what happens with retargeting is you're just reaching out to people who've already expressed an interest in you. That's very different than just general display advertising where maybe they've never come to your site. So a lot of times I hear a lot of complaints about retargeting from an attribution standpoint. It gets a lot of the attribution for conversion, and it tends to be a very highly converting form of advertising. But a lot of people make the argument, and I understand this argument, that there was something else that drove them to your site originally. Maybe it was a search ad, maybe it was a display ad, but retargeting may be getting the benefit of the attribution because it's the last click before they converted. And so when you do last click attribution, sometimes retargeting looks, you know, 10 times better than anything else out there. But the reality is there are other things that drive retargeting to happen.
That's actually really funny because we did have a question here on what's the typical ROI for retargeting in e-commerce. And, I mean, I guess the answer is it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other factors involved.
Yeah, it's like with landing pages too. You know, I talk about landing pages a lot. People say, "Well, what's the general, you know, conversion rate you should expect?" Well, you know, I'll tell you, I've given away things for free, absolutely free, and you have people who don't sign up. Free books, free this, free that, and it doesn't matter. It depends on a lot of factors. And like for instance, with a landing page, another thing that really can be a converting factor is how many form fields you ask them to fill out. Something as simple as that, you know, is it 4 fields or is it 10? So it's hard to really say because there's lots of factors in it. But the best thing to always do is test. I'm a real proponent of testing. So retargeting is very inexpensive to participate in. It's pretty easy, actually, to get started. So I think people should just try it, give it a test, and tweak things and see how things go for them. But I think really I feel like it's the one opportunity a lot of people overlook because if people visited your site, why not try and recycle them and get them back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there was a question about how expensive it is, but so I guess it is pretty inexpensive because you're just basically using tools that are already out there. You know what I mean? Like the Google.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And again, you're only targeting certain people who've come to your website. So you're not showing a display ad to everyone. You're showing them to a highly targeted audience,
right,
which is always very good. So between that and – so you're not paying a whole lot of money necessarily for each impression because you're not maybe making impressions to thousands and thousands of people. It might be hundreds of people or it might be tens of people. You know, so it will – depending on how big your audience is and how much you're budgeting, it will be different. But it is a bit more targeted, obviously, than just putting an ad out on the content network.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we still have some more questions. So this one of the listeners had said that, you know, many people do turn off their cookies, which, you know, I know that's obviously something that people do. I mean, do you have any stats or any anecdotal comments on how often this happens and how wouldn't this negatively impact retargeting?
It can definitely negatively impact. I mean, I don't know that it negatively impacts retargeting. It just means that person wouldn't be retargeted to, right, because their cookie is gone. So they won't be retargeted until they had the cookie again. So that could happen through a visit to your website or it could happen through a social ad, however you have your retargeting cookies set up. I will tell you that, you know, lots of things use cookies, obviously. I mean, Marketo uses cookies to track people for marketing automation. I will tell you that I've just not seen a high number of people who actually delete their cookies. I know when I worked a little bit in the government sector, there was more challenge with that in the B2G space, I think, than any place because of security reasons. And I do think that there's a lot of concern if you are in the UK or in the EU at this point. There's been a lot of debate over cookies, and there's actually some legislation that's gone on over there about cookie tracking. So, you know, if you are a UK person, you need to think about that. That's cookies are challenging from that perspective. I believe, and I don't want to be necessarily quoted on this, but you'd have to look it up, the legislation, but I believe, I mean, not the legislation, yeah, the legislation they passed maybe 2 years ago, and I want to say that you have to tell them you're putting a cookie on them and offer them a way immediately to opt out. I believe that is the case because the same problem is faced by anything like Google Analytics. Google Analytics is cookie-based. So if they delete their cookie, they're a different user. They're not a unique user anymore. But Google Analytics also probably faces these same problems when they are in the UK because they have to tell people they have a cookie that they're putting on them. So there's lots and lots of cookies out there, and your site won't be the only one. But especially if you're in the UK, you should probably get that ducked out because I'm not exactly sure where that legislation is right now. I know it's been in discussion, and there's something that passed, but I don't know how much they're enforcing it at this point in time.
Right. Okay. A couple more questions. This person's asking if this approach would work for B2B. I'm sorry. Yeah, for B2B, like if you're trying to target the C-suite with IT solutions. I mean, I think you guys, you know, one of your sweet spots is B2B. So, while we think about a lot of this as B2C, I mean, I'm sure this is something that would work for B2B, right?
Absolutely. And LinkedIn, like I said, I have to be honest, I really did not expect to get the cost per leads that I did with LinkedIn, given my experience with Facebook. I really didn't expect it, and it was very good. We use LinkedIn ourselves, and we use it for clients, and we have a lot of software and IT-related companies that we work with, and it's ideal. It's really ideal. I'll tell you that I use it for my own webinars and content that I put out there, and I find it to be especially great for things like webinar content. When you're putting out content that people will like and really want to sign up for, it's very effectual to offer them something through LinkedIn that's an immediate type of offering. So you need to sign up now because this webinar is happening in 2 weeks. You know, mm-hmm. You can't wait a month. And so when you advertise like that, it's fantastic. But also, you know, talking about the C-suite, that's one of the great things about LinkedIn is you can actually say, I want to target people who are C-level and above. It's fantastic. And you can say, I just want to target them in, let's say, the IT sector, you know, or I just want to target government. We do a nonprofit webinar. We've done it a couple of times now where we've done both text ads and display ads. The text ads, the last time we ran this, we were targeting people who work in nonprofits in the role of marketing to let them know about a Google grant. Google gives a bunch of money, free credits to nonprofits to advertise on Google AdWords. And we had a cost per lead of $13 per lead. You just can't beat that in the B2B. It's crazy. So it's been really, really good for us in both the self-serve ads, the text ads, as well as the display side. Then we take those people, and again, like I said, we retarget to them because we're going to run that nonprofit webinar again in 6 months. So when we do it again in 6 months, I want to make sure those people who maybe clicked through but didn't sign up that last time, that they know about it next time. And they don't always have to go through LinkedIn to be able to address them and be able to reach out to them.
So would you say in general that, you know, in terms of marketing through retargeting, B2B would be LinkedIn and then not Facebook, or do you see B2B on Facebook?
I don't think B2B is very successful on Facebook. For certain types of businesses, it might be, but the problem with Facebook is that people tend to be more likely to give personal information on Facebook that is not business related. It's more personal related. It's about their personal lives, like I'm a mom or I have two kids or I'm married or I'm a female.
Right.
They're more likely to do that on LinkedIn, and that's why. And the other thing that's challenging, I think, about Facebook is that the ads aren't always very visible, and you don't go to Facebook with the intent of looking at ads in any way, shape, or form. You're in Facebook because you want to share photos and talk with friends. You're not there to respond to ads, which I think is a little bit of a challenge for Facebook, and they're trying to overcome that. They're even saying now that I think today that even if you don't like a page, that you're going to start to see ads and so forth even more in your news feed, even if you don't like a particular brand, which I'm not crazy about. But then LinkedIn, on the other side, LinkedIn is about business, right? So people who are there are doing business. So I think it's just kind of the mindset, too, when you go in.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Okay, I think we have time for one more question, and that is where could you learn more about, you know, how to set up the Google retargeting, or, you know, is there a place on the Google site that you should be looking at, or is there just a good blog that you recommend, or for any of this stuff, or
Well, I talk a lot about this stuff on a pretty regular basis. So I blog about it and stuff, so you can follow some of the stuff I talk about. But also, Google generally has some very good videos. They're really great about putting out some good educational videos. And if you go into Google AdWords for certification, all the folks that work with me go through certification for Google AdWords, and when you go through there, there's a bunch of videos. You don't have to take the certification exam to watch the videos. Anyone can watch them. I highly recommend that you watch those, specifically on retargeting, and it'll walk you through the process. And like I said, Google's been very good. They do a lot of great work on retargeting. And again, they're not the only platform. There are lots of platforms out there, but I think they're one of the easier ones, especially if you're already doing AdWords anyways.
And then why don't you say the name of your blog? For the folks?
It's Search Marketing Sage is the name of my blog, and you can reach it at blog.search-mojo.com.
Excellent. Okay, great. Well, I think that's about all we have time for, so thank you so much, Janet. Janet Driscoll-Miller from Search Mojo, and on behalf of Target Marketing and Printing Impressions Magazines and Marketo, I want to thank you all for listening and for attending this session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees still going on. So, and please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And also, don't forget to take a look at the agenda for the rest of the day. We still have a few sessions lined up, and we encourage you to view them. And also, remember, if you miss anything today, the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday, August 20th. Have a great evening, everyone. Bye-bye.